but we are studying the words of Jesus Christ. We've been in this passage in Mark chapter 9, and we're now at the end of this long discourse. Let me just go over and give you some of the highlights of what was said. It said in Mark 9:33, then Jesus came to Capernaum, and he was in the house, and they began to question what they were discussing. And what were they discussing? Which one of them is the greatest? So how does Jesus answer them? Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and the servant of all. Here they wanted to come out, and which one would be the most preeminent? And he tells them, let me tell you the danger of that thinking. This is what my kingdom is. This is who I am. And then suddenly John interrupts, teacher, we saw someone casting out a demon in your name. We tried to prevent him because he was not following us. What does Jesus say? He who is not against us is for us. And so basically he is saying that there are consequences to our actions, consequences to what happens to us. Then he goes on and he discusses even more about whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me. It would be better for him if a heavy millstone hung around his neck and he be cast into the sea. There are consequences. There's consequences to pride. There's consequences to arrogance. There's consequences to your actions if they're negative. There's consequences to your actions if they're positive. And Jesus is saying, if there's consequences to what you're doing and it causes this to happen, even one of these little ones, it's better for you to get out of the way because something worse could happen. What could happen? Hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands and to go into hell into the unquenchable fire. There's consequences. You can't do anything you want. I know there's a God. You know I know there's a God? Because of all the injustice in the world. Imagine all the injustice in the world. Imagine a person like Charles Spurgeon who lived for Christ and preached, and imagine a man like Hitler. You think God's not going to even those things out? You don't think God's going to see one a servant and one a man who caused great destruction? Of course there's a God. He's going to, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be laid low. God is going to bring about the results of consequences of what happens to us. And he says to you, listen, if this causes the consequences that are bad, it's better for you to do something about it than to not do something and go into where there is the unquenchable fire where the worm dieth not, nor the flame is not extinguished. Remember what it says. Do not be deceived, brothers and sisters. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Listen, for the one who sows to his own flesh negatively will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good. Notice, let us do good to all people, especially those who are the household of faith. So now he concludes it. Oh, and let me show you this. There's a negative and then there is the positive. And I heard a voice from heaven say, right, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest in their labors and their deeds follow with them. Your deeds will follow with you, negatively and positively. But these are the ones who die in the Lord. And how blessed they are, their deeds will follow them. And they will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. As opposed to those deeds who will follow after them. He says, depart from me, I never knew you, workers of iniquity. That's a reality. There are consequences of our actions and what occurs. So now we go to the conclusion. Mark 9:49. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will it make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. So, you notice that, this is the conclusion. This is how Jesus wraps up this whole discourse. Who is the best? Who is the most eminent? They wouldn't come with us. And about the judgment of hell and about the foot and the eye and the hand. So what is he talking about here? Well, obviously, let me just talk with the obvious. What's the one word that's used over and over and over and over again is salt. Let me tell you a little bit just about salt. I remember about 20 years ago sitting in a doctor's office, and there was this National Geographic about salt. And it was amazing. They were telling us, as I read this article, which I thought was very accurate, that salt was almost like gold 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago. that people got paid. That's where we get the expression, are you worth your weight in salt? Did you know that? That's how they got that expression. Is what you're able to do at the value of who you are in your weight that you can produce the equality of who you are as a person in producing something. Salt was very important, very, very valuable. Sodium chloride. And you know why salt was very valuable? Because it never lost its potency. You can put salt in a salt shaker and leave it there for 15 years, and you can dump it out, and it's going to be just as salty as it was. It has that power. And that's why almost like gold. You know, the stock market can go up and down and things, and gold can go a little up and down. But if you have gold, it's something that does... you have something. You have something. That's the same idea of what salt was, of what the power of salt and its commodity. So let me show you a few verses. We're going to look at this verse. For everyone will be salted with fire. Everyone will be salted with fire. This is in Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 13. Every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your gods will not be lacking from your grain offerings. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. Interestingly, that when you bring these grain offerings, these vegetables or things, that they were to season it with salt. The offering shall be offered as you offer it, seasoned with salt. Then in Ezekiel, it talks about on the second day you shall offer a male goat without blemish for the sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they cleanse it with the bull. And when you have finished cleansing it, you shall present a young bull without blemish and a ram without blemish from your flock, and you shall present them before the Lord, and the priest shall throw salt on them. Now this is interesting. This is how would I say this? This is almost an animal offering. Before it was a grain offering, this is an animal offering. And that was to be seasoned with salt. As you brought this offering, notice, you're to throw salt on them, and they shall offer them up as a burnt offering to them. Well, what does Jesus say? Everyone will be salted with fire. Everyone is going to go through the seasoning, if I could say this, of fire. And so, this brings up many, many passages that I want to spend some time on. He's saying ultimately that everything that we do, whether you have your pride, whether you humble yourself, whether you become the least, whether you are arrogant and you're saying that they're not doing it our way, then they're not with us in that way. He says all these things have consequences, consequences. And the consequences will follow you because all of us will be seasoned. Everyone, everyone. Everyone, Christian, non-Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Jew, Catholic, everyone. 1 Corinthians 3. I planted, Paul says, Apollos watered. God caused the growth. I did this, Apollos did this, God did this. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. I just did this, God did this, and Apollos did this, but God made something happen from it. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Ah, notice. You do this, and everyone will receive his own evaluation according to what they have done. The consequences of it. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God was given to me, like a wise builder, I laid a foundation. And another is building on it. I laid a foundation, I put the concrete, someone else came and built this. Each man must be careful how he builds. Why? Because each man will be evaluated by what he did. No one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. The foundation is what God laid, that's Jesus Christ. That's what I built upon. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each man's works will become evident, for the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire. It is the fire itself that will test the quality of every man's work. Notice that. It is fire itself that will test every man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon remains, he will receive a reward. The fire is going to test it, and if it remains, it will receive a reward. And if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yes, yet so as through fire. But let me highlight the two things in the middle of those verses. Verse 13. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself, God is going to have us go through a purging of what we did, and how we did it, And we're going to talk about that. The motives of what we did it, because there are consequences to what we did. And that's what Jesus is wrapping up. It will be salted with fire. For fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And then in verse 12 he says, now if a man builds upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. You know, if your house burns down, and your wife had a diamond ring, and she left it in the house, you know what would happen through that fire and that diamond ring? You'll find that diamond ring. Fire will not destroy it. Fire will not destroy it. But if you had something made of wood, you think you're going to find it? No. You see, notice what he says here. These different gold, silver, could be straw, could be hay, could be wood. Gold, silver, could be hay, could be straw, could be wood. Consequences, gold, silver, could be hay, could be straw, could be wood. So he talks about this day. The day will reveal it. Let me just go through some highlights about this day. You know these passages, but just to reiterate, truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. There's a day of judgment. There's a day of accountability. There's a day of evaluation. There's a day of fire. Read on. 1 Corinthians 1. So that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just a day of judgment. This is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I am convinced that He, Jesus, is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him, Jesus, against that day, or until that day, that He's able to protect it and bring it, that He's going to be there, that I've entrusted it to Him until that day. What is this day? The day of Jesus. Well, this is the day that Paul says, but you, why do you judge your brother? You know what that would relate to? Oh, they're not doing it our way. Why do you judge your brother? Or again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Notice, we, not them, we. We will all stand. Everyone will be tested and seasoned with fire. We will all stand. Paul will stand. Apollos will stand. Every person that's ever breathed the breath of life will stand before the judgment seat of God. And each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Each of us will present to God. We. Us. The works. The commitment. We will commit ourselves and account himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We must all stand before the judgment seat. My friend, this is not just yes. If you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. You're in Christ. You'll be with Christ. You'll see Christ. But we will be evaluated. We will be realizing that you cannot just say anything you want, do anything you want, be anything you want. No. Everybody will be tested by fire. Disciples, listen. If you go the path of who's the greatest, you have no idea what you're going to wreak havoc with. But if you become the least and you become servant of all, oh, wait till you see what you can present to me on that day. Look at these words. But I tell you, these are the words of Christ. I tell you, not Pastor Sam, I tell you, every careless word that people speak, not that you speak, anybody, every idle word that people speak, they will give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Everything Bill Clinton has spoken, everything George Bush has spoken, everything Billy Graham has spoken, everything your daughter and son has spoken, everything I have spoken, every word that people speak, they're going to give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you're going to be justified, by your words you're going to be condemned. Your words will follow you and be justified, your words will follow you and you'll be condemned. Condemned. You know, it's interesting. There's an issue we always have. You know what the issue is? Well, I forgot about what I did. And we do things, we forget about it, we think out of sight, out of mind, out of forever. Psalm 50:20, you sit and speak against your brother, you slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was just like you. You know how many times that's written in the New Old Testament? You thought that because you forgot, I forgot. You're an idiot. You thought I was just like you. I'm going to reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. That's what Jesus is saying. Everyone will be salted with fire. Everybody will give an account of the things done. Everyone will stand before the judgment seat. Your arrogance, your pride, oh disciples, you have no idea. It's better if you have a millstone wrapped around your neck and be removed than to go into the judgment. Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces and there will be none to deliver. Oh my goodness. Oh, God doesn't tear into pieces. No, people tear themselves into pieces. Look at this verse. Then they said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. See, this would be, you know, God doesn't see. God doesn't remember this. Look what he says here, two verses later. He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? You think that God who gave you an ear to hear something, you think he doesn't hear what you say? How ridiculous. You think that God who gave you eyes to see what you see, you think he doesn't see what you do? The God who made the ear and the eye, he doesn't see it and hear it? And you must give an account for it? Let's take it a step further. Because this is a testing. For the Word of God, remember, the words of Jesus Christ, the Word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh my goodness. My friend, listen. Remember, this is what we learned from studying the words of Jesus Christ. Listen. Jesus, everything Jesus ever said, that's why we don't understand them always. Everything Jesus ever said was speaking to the heart of the listener. We can't do that. We don't know everybody's motive. We don't know everybody's... Jesus knew exactly the heart of the Pharisees, the heart of his disciples, the heart of Peter, the heart of John. He knew exactly. And that's exactly what this judgment is. Look, for the Word of God is able to judge the thoughts and intents. God's not going to just judge our actions. He's going to say, let me tell you the motives. Positively. Doing things from a good motive. From a selfless motive. God sees that. Even though it falls apart and it becomes crud, God sees your pure motive. Thank God for that, right? Thank God for that. But if it even looks like it's something good and it's not, God sees that motive. In fact, Paul even said that in Philippians. Some people preach Christ out of love. Some people preach Christ out of envy to cause me harm. God sees that. God sees that. The joint and the marrow, able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Read on. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things, I love the King James better, are naked and open before him. You know, I'm not trying to be gross. Thank God we can all wear clothes. You know what I mean? You know. Many times we don't. Only our wife or husband can take us naked. You know what I mean? I'll just leave. But everything is naked and open before him. You're going to have no clothes to hide you. No fig leaves. No. Let me get a fig leaf. I got an excuse. They did this. I got a reason. My friend, everything is going to be naked and open. Laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's take it a step further. When is this? Who is this? How does this happen? In Revelation 1 verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Some people think this is the day of the Lord. I actually believe that. Paul is our expert on the end times and stuff, maybe. But I think it's really saying, this is what happened. This is the day of the Lord. This is coming. I heard behind me a voice like the trumpet. His head and his hair were like white wool. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. Why? Because his eyes looked right into the recesses of our heart. His eyes were like fire. Fire. It exposed. Everything was laid bare. His eyes. His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in the furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he had seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. Judgment. Evaluation. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. This is Jesus Christ on the judgment day. Everything is naked and open before him. His evaluation is true. His response is true. No fooling around here. No dialogue. Every mouth may be stopped and the whole world become accountable to God. Every body will be salted with fire. Everybody. So let's go back now. And when I saw him, I fell down like a dead man. Let's go back. Everyone will be salted with fire. Everyone will be salted with fire. Why? Because fire will either purify us or fire will either consume us. Remember the different things listed, the precious stones? Gold, silver, wood, hay, stubble. Fire. A two-edged sword will either prune us or it will condemn us. An instrument of pruning of life. You cut the thing to bring life or you cut it to kill. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, 2 Peter 3:10. The heavens will pass away with a roar. The elements will be destroyed with intense heat. Oh boy. With fire. The earth and its works will be burnt up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? If this is happening, what kind of people we should be realizing we're going to be on that day? We're going to go through that day. We're going to be witness to that day. We're going to be brought forth to see that day. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the heavens will melt with intense heat. Notice, heat, burning, fire. But according to his promise, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Fire will consume the wicked, or fire will purify us. You know that famous verse in the Handel's Messiah, and he shall purify, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. Like a smelter's fire, he will purify the sons of Levi. Remember what Peter says, your faith being more precious than silver and gold. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot, Meloh Hora'oz Kevadot, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Whole earth is filled with his glory. May shine forth to the day of Jesus Christ. In Revelation it says, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books, notice, books, plural, were opened. And another book was opened. So there's many books, but then there is another book, which is the book of life. The book, which is not plural, book, no S, is the book of life. The other books, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books. The books. God will open up all the books. Everything we've done. And he will write, judge us according to the things written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it. And the death and hell gave up their dead which were in it. And they were judged, each one according to them, according to their deeds, from the books. The death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, not the books, you got to make sure you're in the book. Because you're all in the books. Everything you've done is in the books. You better make sure you're in the book of life. And if your name was not found in the book of life, He is thrown in the lake of fire. Thank God for salvation in Jesus Christ. No wonder David said, Lord, forgive me of sins I know not of. Sins of omission. Things out. Things I'm not even aware of. My rotten motives. My evil motives. My revengeful motives. My slanted tongue. Double tongue. Forked tongue. Thank God. My sheep hear my voice. And God writes your name in the book of life. Remember what salvation is? Salvation is not what you do for Jesus Christ. It's what He did for you. But you're all written in the books. Everyone will be salted with fire. Everyone. Why? Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is... You want to know the first time the word holy is used in the Bible? I did this with an exercise I did on how to study the Bible. Think in your mind, where is the first time the word holy is used in the Bible? It's not even in the book of Genesis. It's not even given to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. It was Moses when he was before the burning bush. A bush that does not consume. And God said, take off your shoes, for the ground that you stand is holy. Oh my, holy. God is a consuming fire. His consumption will purify us and bring us forth as gold and silver, or His consumption will destroy and consume and cast into the lake of fire. No wonder the elements will be burnt up. No wonder there will be a new heavens and a new earth purified. No wonder Jesus Christ came and He says, and He came and He shall, I baptize you with water, but one is mightier than I who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And on the day of Pentecost, it was like tongues of fire. God is going to give you relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. When the Lord Jesus will be revealed, Jesus is telling you, listen, everyone will be salted with fire. What? Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back now. These He will give the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. Let's go back. So then He tells us, I'm halfway through my sermon. No, I'm not, but no. The last statement. Salt is good. But if the salt becomes all salty, with what will it make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Let me talk a little bit about salt for a minute. I talked about this, I remember last year when I talked about we are the salt of the earth, the salt of the world. Remember I told you that one element about salt that was very unique is that it doesn't lose its saltiness. That's the power of what salt is. And salt, in a sense, is almost something like something very real. It's reality. You know what we have now? Now we have salt light. Now we have fake salt. High blood pressure, you better use your fake salt. Now you have salt substitute. You understand what I'm saying? There's real salt and there's fake salt. Have salt in yourself. Salt is good. Make sure you're real. Don't be what you're not. Let love be without hypocrisy. Remember what Jesus said here? You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. If it doesn't have, it has no value anymore. You know, salt is a preservative. You used to put salt in things and it would keep it longer from decaying. The world is decaying. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. I'll tell you something very honestly. My son was telling me something. He says, I was sitting with him. I would just do this for 1 second. We were watching something last Sunday, and there was all this advertisements for Viagra and Cialis. He says, Dad, when you grew up, was there all these advertisements for all this erectile dysfunction and things like that? No, I'm not. No, listen to me for a minute. Think of all some girl got raped who was 3 years old in Utah someplace. They're looking, or in California. You may tell you why there is so much of this going on, so much immorality, so much pedophilia with priests and things. You know why there's so much of this obsession? I'll tell you one word, pornography. Pornography has destroyed men. And that's why they need a pill to have sexual relations. It has destroyed men. God is not mocked, my friend. Listen, God's not mocked. God's not mocked. It's not innocent. It's from the pit of hell. It destroys families. It destroys marriages. It destroys children. It destroys churches. I was in Minnesota, one of the most famous churches in Minnesota, not a free church. 5,000 people, a Baptist church, and the man was having an affair. And the whole church is this. What about what happened in Colorado with this guy, Ted Hagen? Or Haggard, excuse me. Not Hagen, excuse me. It's a preservative. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord, because we're going to go through fire. What else is salt? Epsom salt. It's a healer. It's a healer. Look at this passage in Ezekiel. As for your birth, on the day that you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing, but you were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in clothing. This is Israel. And he says, listen, they didn't even give you salt to cleanse you and to get away any bacteria. Salt would kill bacteria of a newborn and cleanse it. We're a healer. There's a bomb in Gilead. People are hurting. We want to be salt. We want to be cleansing them, not putting it in their wounds. What else is salt? Rock salt. When I lived in Erie, Pennsylvania, you put salt to melt the snow, right? Rock salt. Look at this passage. God gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth his ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth his word and melts them. Oh my goodness. Wow. Salt is like something that melts us. The words of Jesus Christ can melt us. Forgiveness can melt us. Knowing Christ will melt us, make us something special and beautiful in Him. So let's go back again. Salt is good. Salt is good. But if the salt becomes unsalty, how can you salt it again? How do you have that? You need to have salt in yourself. What is salt? Salt is being real. Real. My friend, you can fake me, you can fake the church, I can fake you, I can fake my wife, but nobody fakes God. Play all the games you want. God is not going to be amused with games. That's why I say Grace Church is not about a game. We're not here to entertain you. This is life and death. This is heaven and hell, because we will all be salted with fire. We want to prevent decay. We want to be a healing. We want to be there to melt people, to encourage people who are receptive. And then he says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Now, why would he say be at peace with one another? How did the whole conversation begin? I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. Imagine how far the Church of Jesus Christ would go with an attitude like that. It wouldn't make it past day one. Imagine how the church would go if we're it, the truth resides with us. Imagine what damage. I used to think that way for a few years, and I had to write letters to people that I humiliated, intimidated, the damage I did, instead of realizing that Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, love one another even as I have loved you, that you love one another, be at peace with one another, love one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. Let love be without hypocrisy. What a sad thing that Jesus looks at his church and sees brothers devouring one another, criticizing one another. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good for edification. As much as lies within you, Paul said, be at peace with all men. Be at peace with all men, that the gospel may have free course. How does Jesus conclude the whole thing? They started off talking about who's the greatest. He tells them serving. He talked about which guy wouldn't go with us. He said, if he's not against us, he can't be evil of us. Listen, these thoughts are not good. It's better if a millstone is around your neck than to cause this destruction. Your hand offends you, your eye offends you, your foot offends you. You have no idea the fire that's going to await. The fire of salted judgment. We will all, everyone will go through and be salted with fire. Salt is good. If the salt lost its value, it's not worth anything. But be salted. Be the salt of the earth. Listen to my words. It works. It works. Serving works. Exalting destroys. Holiness works. Sin kills. Listen, listen to the words of Jesus Christ and be live and find life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. Thank you for the words of your Son. I need to hear these words, Lord. I pray for my heart, my motives, my thoughts, the intents of my heart. For each of us, Lord, may they be laid open and bare before you now rather than on the day of judgment. Lord, help us to be real for you, honest with you, and help us to be all that you desire us to be. Let us lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has laid hold of for us. Father, bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to have you. Please greet one another and stay for some refreshments in the courtyard. God bless you.